No idea is too small. And a lot of these new entrepreneurs, they say, oh, I have a small idea. And I always say, be careful what you say, because the way that you say it is what you actually end up manifesting. If you look around here, every single thing started with an idea, whether it's the universe or whatever you believe in gave you that idea. And you can take it and you can run with it, or you can let it go. But if you do take it and run with it, don't be hard on yourself, because part of the journey is really just earning the right at each step.
That was Megan Asha. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. Hi, it's Marnie. Thanks so much for tuning in and downloading the Marnie on the Move podcast. I also greatly appreciate your emails and DMs with questions for our new segment, Just Ask. It's so wonderful to hear your feedback. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter on our website as well. Big things happening for the holidays in 2019. Okay, let's get to it. Today, I sync up with Megan Asha, founder and CEO of FounderMade, a platform and conference that helps curate and scale best-in-class consumer brands, connecting them with highly sought-out retailers, distributors, investors, and influencers. Megan is a true paradigm shifter and entrepreneur. Thanks to her savvy innovation and drive over the past few years, FounderMade's signature bi-coastal event, the Consumer Discovery Show, offers a fresh perspective and a new spin on the traditional trade show and conference model with exhibitions in New York and LA. Essentially, it's the world's gathering place for next generation brands looking to drive business and for the consumer goods ecosystem looking to discover the latest in consumer product innovation. What began as a dinner series and networking get-together, empowering a small group of friends and like-minded entrepreneurs, has grown into a game-changing event concept and series, catering to emerging and established brands and founders. Still aligned with her mission to build and connect, Megan continues to help and inspire founders to pursue their passion and grow their brands through FounderMade's East and West Coast events and discovery platform. This year, the exhibition consisted of over 200 breakthrough brands, some of which Megan mentions on today's podcast episode, including Aquis, Spiro, Charlotte's Web, Bolo, Nutrafol, Vital Proteins, Kanuka, and so many more. Past shows have had brands and retailers including Violet Grey, Drybar, The Honest Company, Bobbi Brown, Erewhon, Estee Lauder, RX Bar, Bulletproof Coffee, and Marnie on the Move podcast guests, Wetherspoon's Rebecca Romley, CEO, and Fit Beauty founder Kelly Chen. Megan and I talk about everything from building and running a business to training and running marathons and everything in between. We cover fueling with bars and gels to mainstream wellness trends like cannabis and CBD, mushrooms, collagen, and more. I hope you enjoy the episode. Please head over to our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com. Sign up for our newsletter to learn about upcoming events, deals, and giveaways. Leave us a 5-star review on your listening platform. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Marnie on the Move. And to learn more about FounderMade and today's guest and their amazing discovery platform, head over to foundermade.com or on social at FounderMade. But before we get started, a word from today's fueling partner, Renee Friis. Today's episode is fueled by Renee Friis Hair Care Products, the all-new Scandinavian-inspired cloudberry-infused line from world-renowned hairstylist Renee Friis. Renee was recently a guest on the show and brought me some products to try. I was immediately hooked after using the products. They really, truly are amazing. I tried the thickening cleanser and conditioner and the styling cream. These products have been game changers for my hair. As you know, I'm training and exercising almost every day, swimming a few times a week. The cleansers and conditioners are super light, nourishing, simple, and they smell great. Of course, they are paraben-free, not tested on animals, and full of great natural ingredients, including extracts from cloudberry, rhodiola, and birch. Head over to his website at reneefreese.com or shop his Amazon store at amazon.com/reneefreese. Okay, now on to the episode. I'm here today with Megan Asha, who is the founder and CEO of FounderMade. And I'm really super excited to be having her as a guest on the podcast. I've known her since she started her company, which is so cool. And I'm going to let Megan tell you all about FounderMade.
And we've been friends for so many years. We've watched each other both build. This has been, it's so fun to be able to be on this podcast. It's so great.
Tell me about FounderMade.
FounderMade, we do two shows a year called the Consumer Discovery Show. And our whole goal is to discover the best consumer brands and then help them build. And the way that we do that is we bring all the retailers, all the media to these events, and we do product launches, we do buyer one-on-ones, and we have a full suite of content that we do that's geared towards educating next generation consumer founders, helping them build everything from investment to learning retail distribution, learning acquisition. What do you need to do to win the game if you want to be a brand that wants to be acquired? And it really, the whole, it's very funny because this business actually wasn't supposed to be a business.
Right. So where did you start? Like, what was the idea when you started out?
I was working in finance. I was juggling two jobs. This was after business school, and I had a digital media platform. I had done all these different types of entrepreneurial things. I had a leather scarf company. Who even knew? And this was something that I was working in finance and in venture capital, and I was sitting on the other side of the table, and I was like, I know I'm supposed to be an entrepreneur again, but I don't know what I want to do yet.
Right.
And so I said, I'm really depressed. And this question came to mind. It was, when you're 90, what will make you happy? I said, I'm just going to do this dinner series, and I'm going to call it FounderMade, and I'm going to start these like 12, I'm going to do a dinner a month, and it's going to be almost like founder therapy. I'm going to find an entrepreneur that I've known for years that's came from nothing and then has crushed it. And so our first dinner was with founder of Squarespace. And then we brought tech entrepreneurs. Then we had a bunch of other different dinners, and these dinners kept getting bigger and bigger. And then Daniel from Kind Bar, he wanted to speak, or I wanted him to speak. He didn't even know about our little FounderMade dinner series. And I spoke to his PR for
I was
PR
gonna say,
woman.
How did you connect with him?
I was His PR woman was a friend of a friend. And I said, can we just get Daniel? I'm doing these dinners. I'm just doing them for fun. And she's like, well, Daniel's launching a book. He's only going to speak in front of 300 people. And I said, oh, well, I can get 300 people to show up. And so that is when we decided in 2015 to launch our version of the Future of Wellness Conference.
Right.
So,
which is the one that I went to.
Yeah. That was at Gansevoort Hotel.
And you had a lot of speakers. Oh, no, I didn't go to that one. I went to the one at Spring.
This was like from
Studio.
This was from like 6 to 9 p.m. at the Gansevoort
totally
and Meatpacking.
Yes.
I had ironed on inspirational quotes to the gift bags, like build business. I don't even know what it was, but I still have one of those. And it was like such a labor of love. Beautiful gift bags, though.
And how many people were you?
I mean, I was still doing two jobs, and I had my girlfriend from Google who had just quit her job at Google, produced the event. She used to run events in Glass at Google, and Navi, and we basically just did this together. And it was a whole suite of learning. We didn't even know we were in the events
24/7.
Business. It was not really even like work. It was just like a side thing that I loved doing, and it didn't even, it was just a funny thing. I didn't know if it was a business or not. I just knew that this was really fun, and it was something that needed to be in the world. So, and we did a pitch challenge for wellness.
And this was at your first event.
Yes, we did a pitch challenge for wellness. And I had had this idea that this conference was going to be amazing, and nobody was going to, and the logistics would be good. And I had never really actually produced an event. And it was like, people were like standing up. It was like people were drinking and talking over my speakers. I was shushing people. I can't even imagine if I pulled the text message stream to like from my boyfriend at the time. And then Navi, who I started the business with, because it was like, you know, when an event's out of control and you can't control anything,
and
you have to like just go with the flow. I was not going with the flow. I had not learned or gotten my event sea legs. And until you start doing events, you don't realize that it is such an art and a science, and there's so much planning and so much organization. You do. And you actually need to overly communicate. And now, as we've built this thing into a trade show business, the one thing that is so, so important is overly communicating with our customers, setting expectations.
Right.
You know, you may think in your brain, well, this is such a simple business. It's so easy. But really, like any logistics or anything, there's always, and the other thing is that it's only one day, or we do two shows a year, but it's one day where all your customers see you.
Right.
They all see you, they all show up, and they all talk to each other about how they thought that you did. It's not like you're running a retail store where there's people coming in and you have so much to drive and so much value to drive at that conference, and you're only as good as your last show.
And everybody's talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of great and also could be really scary. Yep. And then you need to be running the event and also being front of house. I mean, I'm sure you have, I know you have a big team, but still, this is what I love about FounderMade. I love coming to your events where you have all these amazing new brands that I haven't heard of, some that I've heard of, lots of great speakers and panels. And there's so much good networking and everybody is really accessible.
It's awesome. I think it's the energy and the mission behind it. It just has this, it's bigger than any of us or anything. There's just like this very cool, I don't even know how to place why there's such great energy, but there is something really special about the mission behind it.
And talk to me a little bit about your why and what your mission is, or what your mission was when starting FounderMade from the beginning. What was your vision?
So again, it wasn't even supposed to be a business, right? It was
but
supposed to be
a connector.
Dinner series.
You're a connector. And you are into discovery.
I am into like discovery. Life is a discovery. we're winning and learning.
Yeah.
But I think for any entrepreneur out there, or any small business owner out there, you only learn through execution.
Right.
And so your vision, the first day that you do it, may be something completely different years down the line. One of the best things or advice I got when I first started the dinner series was my friend came up to me after one of my first dinners and I was so embarrassed. It was downstairs at like the gym. I mean, not embarrassed, but it was like, you know, why am I doing this? I just know I'm supposed to be doing this. This is like, it's just a networking thing. What's the deliverable? You know, I don't know if this is supposed to be a business or not. And she says, Megan, you love it. Just follow the breadcrumbs.
Right.
Just do that.
Yeah.
And so the vision initially was just, I loved entrepreneurs. I was still trying to, I had a couple different businesses early on and some sold, some failed, and some I had bad partnership issues with. And I wanted to mentor my younger self. So the reason I was almost doing this was because this was a way of me processing and helping my younger self learn. And so I really was more of this was just like, well, what would I want for the younger Megan who fell on her face so many times and didn't believe in herself for so long and was so hard on herself because she didn't know all the answers? What would I want? And to me, and this is what I've even seen with our business and how different it is now, when you find the mentors that have done a business in the same sector that have the playbook, it will change the game. It changes the way you think about the business. It changes the way that you think about yourself operating the business. As an example, we had in June, so after our beauty event, this was last June, 2017, we were collecting checks after our event.
After the event?
So we had a bunch of exhibitors and then our star, my CRO, chief revenue officer and head of partnerships, I'm listening to her on the phone call collecting these checks. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is my fault. Number one, why am I having my quarterback salesperson being accounts receivable?
Right.
This is my fault. And so we ended up contacting a couple other friends in trade show business and got a CFO on board who would help scale the Consumer Electronics Show and has sold a bunch of trade shows. And just having him in, helping us with our financial planning and knowing the playbook of everything.
Right.
It was like, oh, we didn't even know we were a trade show. We didn't even know what we were doing. We were just doing these amazing events and they were great. And they were content events, but we've gotten super hyper focused on exactly what our mission is, which is number one, we are there to drive commerce through retail distribution, investment, and media. So
I like that you're calling yourself a trade show, even though I know that you're so much more.
We're so much
more. But I feel like at a certain point, you need to be able to explain what your business is in really simple language that people understand. So if you're trying to reinvent the wheel and come up with some really cool idea, nobody's going to understand it and you can't sell it.
Totally.
And I've learned that lesson, by the way.
Well, it's interesting because I think we still stand to be more, even clearer in our messaging. But as it stands right now, we're a conference and trade show business that helps retailers and brands. I have a whole master plan for this company and a master plan on how we scale. But this is where we are in the business right now. And this is what we're owning and we're winning at. And this is like going to just be happening year over year till we scale all those consumer brands in the world.
Of course, you have a long-term vision and business plan along with a this-year plan and focus. It's so important to have both. Do people ever try to advise you that you should have one or the other, or tell you should really focus versus having a big vision?
I think that everybody has, and it's funny because I was literally just talking to our CFO about this morning, and everyone has their own way of interpreting what other people should be doing with their business,
right.
or other people. Well, everyone
true.
Has their own
yes.
interpretation of how it lands. And mm-hmm. some people, if you're a VC, you're going to want to see, okay, this company's going to be X, 20X a return. And so that's why they want to see the big vision. You know, my CFO, who I love because we sit there and passionately talk about the business, and I want to scale really fast. And he's like, slow, you're talking is doesn't take slow down. And when we're just sitting there, and I love it because he's like passionate, you know, he's like passionately talking about this consumer discovery show and how, you know, we need to earn the right for each part of the business, and scaling to 1,000 exhibitors is not
right.
is not for next year.
So
correct?
I was going to, yes.
There's two different ways. Like to me, I'm in the like visionary founder role, and I see the mission, the overarching mission, I can't help but be excited about those big goals because that's what gets me up. Money, and yes, money is like a scorecard on for some things, like in terms of like, oh, can we get to this revenue or can we get to this success level? But it's not really about that. It's like, can you do it? When you climb a mountain, you're like, I think that's really scary to climb. Can I do it? And then
right.
you get up
and
like this
try.
Thing, and then you're like,
yeah.
and then you're in the middle of the climb. And you're like, oh, this is for the birds. Why am I even doing this?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, let's keep going up, and you hit. So I think it's part of that. And I get so excited about the top of the mountain that I can see, but in order for us, we have to be laser focused at where we're at.
Right.
Just like get your footing on the mountain and then just keep going in what's in front of you and keep building, and you'll end up having an amazing business.
Right. Speaking of mountains, did you just run a marathon in Patagonia?
I did that. Okay. Well, and I need to be honest about my Patagonia marathon.
Okay.
So it was a half marathon because my phone went off. It changed time and I got on the wrong bus. And I'm so type A because I have my list. I have my list of all the marathons that I'm going to run. I'm going to run a marathon in every continent, right? So
right.
South America was supposed to be Patagonia. And I flew 17 hours. I did a whole thing. It was like, I was like beating myself up for taking any time out of work or off of work to do this marathon. And then I get on this half marathon. I get off on the bus, and the woman says to me at the beginning, it's like nine, my phone says 9 a.m. And she's like, no, this is the half marathon bus. And that the marathon's so rural that I couldn't get the bus to go up the, oh, and then I'm on the bus and I'm upset. So I'm having like a conniption. I'm like, I'm sitting next to the only English speaker on the bus. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I'm supposed to be running the real marathon. I didn't fly 17 hours to do the half marathon. That's for the birds. Like, come on. And then I drank all this water and it was an hour long thing. And no one speaks English on the, I mean, there was like, you know, probably 70% of people are speaking Spanish on the bus. And I, all of a sudden, I'm like, I have to pee. So no, not only am I losing my mind about not getting to run the marathon, I stopped
so
the bus.
I feel like that's
in the middle of
something
the
that would happen to me. Yeah.
I stopped the bus and I go and there's not even a wooded area, and I go and I have to pee. And literally the whole bus, who doesn't speak English, like they just look at me when like they stop the bus before their half marathon and like they start laughing when I walk on the bus. And I'm like, you know what? This is a lesson. I always say like the reason I do these runs, these types of like hard physical activities, is because there's always a lesson. And that lesson was for me to stop being so type A about things. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. If you don't do a full marathon today, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Stop with your like, well, this is what life is supposed to be, and controlling things. You know, it's okay to actually... It was a lovely run. It was amazing.
And I feel like you already learned that lesson, right? When you did your event in LA.
Yes.
Right? So tell me about what happened in LA.
So LA was so... And again, just when you're launching, and I'm sure you
yes.
understand this, when you're launching a new event in a new city.
Right.
And this was, I think, 4 or 5 times bigger than any event we had done in LA. Our biggest event in LA was 200 people. So this
right.
was like a couple thousand people. And it was, you know, X
That's
hundred
huge.
And something exhibitors. And
That's
so,
a lot.
And it was in a huge, beautiful airplane hangar. I always work out every morning. It's like, that's part of my meditation, is doing these workouts. And I was bragging when I came to LA. I said, oh my God, I found a class just as good, better than Barry's Bootcamp. It's this class called Circuit Works. So I was telling my dad, I was telling everybody, I'm like, I'm going to do a 5:30 a.m. class right before our show. and this is going to get me prepped, and then I'll go and I'll be great on stage and the whole thing. So I go. Nobody else joins me that day. I invite all of my friends. No one wants to come, but I'm like, okay, nobody from the team, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to the 5:30 a.m. class. And it's an amazing class, but the way that it's structured is you go on the treadmill for 2 minutes, then you go off and you do different circuits. So about 40 minutes into the class, they start switching the circuits so it's 1 minute intervals. And someone didn't, and it was like, I was half asleep, but someone didn't turn off the treadmill. So I get on the treadmill thinking it's stopped because I have a little bit bad eyesight, thinking it's stopped and it's actually going still. And I fall, I hit my chin. I literally hit my chin and I feel the treadmill on my chin.
Oh my
like
God.
Shaking back and forth, like almost displacing my jaw. And I landed sitting duck on the floor of the gym, and the class comes across, all of a sudden stops. They think I'm like hit my head, gotten a concussion. I think this is really crazy. This is the craziest. This is like you always think, right, when you're running it on a treadmill that you're going to fall.
This is how I think I'm going to die though.
No,
I think I'm going to die on a treadmill.
No. And it was not when, and so I'm sitting there and I get up because I'm like, oh my God, like I just wanted to show. And I also am so type A that I'm like, I get back up on the treadmill. Like, I'm fine. I get up. And then I start putting the freaking treadmill up and running. And I've all of a sudden I'm on the treadmill and I'm like, my jaw is a little displaced. And I'm like, oh, something's like not clicking. Something's weird on my jaw. I feel a little off. Yeah. Cause you hit your head on the freaking treadmill. And I had streak marks. I had streak marks from the rubber.
Oh my
God. So I had to go to UCLA Medical Center.
This is why no one else from your team went with you.
UCLA Medical Center. It's like 6:30 at this point. I was like, guys, I have a big show I'm putting on. I was like, you guys all look like Grey's Anatomy. You're very, very attractive, amazing. But I need to get a jaw scan. I need to see if I've actually broken my jaw because I can't. My head feels a little weird. I had a rubber bruise, or I mean, I've never seen a rubber bruise. So I think the entrepreneurial journey is never. It's always an adventure. There's always so much learning. And I was on stage and at 9 a.m. So it was great.
So I can't believe that we don't hang out every day. I mean, like that,
something
you just like that is something that would seriously happen to me. And the story you told about missing the bus for the marathon. So my partner and I do triathlons and literally we have to wake up at 3 a.m. before the race to get like, we have to eat and we have to like get into the mindset, yep. And then we have to drive, and everybody is type A that does triathlon. So if they say the parking lot opens at 4, you can bet that there's going to be a line starting at 3 o'clock to get in the parking lot. And you need to be yep. part of that, or else you don't have a spot. And then you're late for transition and you can't set up your transition. And it's a whole disaster. And you're already stressed out about running, you know, swimming in 50 degree water and riding your bike after, and then running a half marathon. So, but we love it. You know, that's one of my biggest fears. And it's besides dying on the treadmill, which I think I used to do Tabatas on the treadmill. Not anymore.
No, I don't think so.
No, I can't.
No, I just run outside. No, but I mean, I did a treadmill class this morning. So I'm facing my fear.
So you're recovered.
Ish. I still
have. I don't see any bruises or anything.
I still have, but I definitely, it's not something, now I know how it feels. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. I didn't wonder how it felt to have your chin just drop and fall on a treadmill, but now I've really, it's discovery. We had discovery happening.
Oh my God.
Treadmill discovery.
Is it, that's crazy. I'm sure the gym feels so bad.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they did. They emailed me during that. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like, I'm living my best life. But I'm like, can I just get the video? I would love to see how I fell.
So talk to me about your marathoning, because it sounds like you have a really awesome plan. Speaking of running and treadmills.
It's a way of getting balance when mm-hmm. you have goals for your business, right?
Right.
And then you have goals for your personal life. And I think the fun part about doing these marathons around the world.
Yes.
And so my goal is that I'm going to run all the continents, including okay. Antarctica at some point, and do actual marathons, not half marathons. So I still need to yeah. do South America. It'll probably be before 2020. That's the goal. So.
Okay. So over the entire next year and a half.
Yep. And I've done Australia. I did Paris.
Okay. I've wanted to do the Paris Marathon. Is it?
Paris is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I thought I was on a running tour. They serve French bread. You go down the Champs-Élysées. You go around. You
That's
see the
so cool.
Eiffel Tower. You see Louis Vuitton Museum. Everyone's cheering. It was the most pleasant marathon I've ever done.
Have you done New York yet?
I did New York.
Okay.
Yep. And I did Big Sur. I did 21 miles in Big Sur. There was a Big Sur trail run, and I didn't. I only like to do the ones that are I don't like to go back and forth on a track. So right. if I've seen everything, I'm not going to go run back and forth on a track. I'm just going to see the full loop and then I don't
right.
need to do
so
the
Right, so those are the types
26.
Of courses that you look for. Like you don't need to go back and forth.
No, we're not.
So what's your next marathon?
I am thinking about Japan and Mount Fuji.
Okay.
So that's one
I've
signed
up for. And where do you train?
I have a running coach, Coach Cook.
Okay.
She's at WRKNYC. She's amazing.
I've seen her on Instagram.
You should really. So she's my running coach slash probably running therapist because I get very bored with the running when you run. Do you run distance?
Yeah, not marathons, but I do half marathons. But I mean, there's not a lot of ground to cover in New York City.
There really isn't. So Coach Cook and I would meet at 4 or 5 in the morning to train. And then we'd be done by like 9 in the morning. And even in the winter, it was pretty good because it was painful, but we would do it. And I like it because I would talk to her for like 10 or 12 miles and then I'd put my headphones on. But it goes so fast when you're talking and you're running.
What's your weekly distance right now?
I don't like running every day. I actually don't train that much. I just do the distances on the weekend. So as long as I'm training, I do like a 15 mile on a weekend, then I move it up to 18, then I move it up to,
you
know, 20.
As you get closer to the race.
Yeah. And I'm not doing it for speed. So I don't, this is more just so I don't hurt myself. And then I'll do like 2 small runs during the week and then I'll just do my regular, like I do 30, 60, 90. I do a bunch of different, you know, HIIT classes. And
have exercise and wellness kind of always been your thing that keeps you motivated and moving in all your business and success.
Yeah. I think you get addicted to it too. Yeah. And I think it's also a way of processing things and getting perspective because sometimes I won't have perspective on things it gets me back centered to, okay, align with what your mission is. I love that as my outlet. I don't think I could live without it.
I feel like so many lessons you learn in business, you come from sports and fitness. You were talking about earlier, just like, you know, going out and being on a hike or a mountain and sort of like looking ahead and saying, okay, I'm here. I want to turn back. This sucks, but you keep going. When you think about some of those lessons with your business, like what are some lessons that maybe one or two that you've gotten and even in the last few years from doing all your running and marathons and training that you're now reflecting back upon and using to get ahead in your business?
I think it's a combination of things. I think one is perseverance. The only reason that founder made and even doing these marathons or anything, like completing things, is all through perseverance. And it's not, when I was younger, I didn't have that perspective. So I would do these startups and I'd wonder, oh, this isn't supposed to be this hard. Well, no, actually, part of being in business is you get whacked. Everyone gets whacked. It's not you. If you're saying that you're not getting whacked in business, I don't know. I don't think you're in business.
Right.
So it's the way that you deal with the whack of, okay, are you going to step up? Or are you gonna ignore and are you gonna continue to do the same thing? So one thing that I would say is even with just the way that we've built our conferences, it hasn't been a perfect, beautiful journey of doing this thing. We've gotten whacked a couple times. Like our first show, our consumer discovery show in November, that was our first real trade show and we were not set up to be a trade show at that point. Our operations weren't tight. There were just things that needed to happen for us to have serviced our customers. It was a really, really tough conference and we basically came back to and we do this every single time we have a conference now. We do customer calls every single time. We actually ask them 5 different questions and it's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you rate this? And it's really just so that everyone's being as honest and as truthful as of the value that we're driving. And so back to the marathon, the other thing, so perseverance, back to marathon wisdom, perseverance, I think dealing with a headspace, the perseverance, the headspace of not wanting to do something or being scared of doing something and then just pushing forward and doing it. And then I think also there's a connection I connect to my higher power when I'm doing these marathons. And that's like when I'm actually doing business well and business right, and I'm being of service to my team and being of service to my customers, I also feel like I'm in that same type of energy field. So it's like a very cool alignment that happens with both.
You just wrapped your big consumer discovery show in LA. What are some of the brands and trends you see emerging in the beauty, food, and wellness space?
Yeah. So consumer discovery show, the way it is, and if you were to think of, if anybody knows the Consumer Electronics Show,
right?
We're the consumer, the vision for consumer and what we're doing for consumer discovery show is basically we've combined all the segments. So we have a future of wellness pavilion, future of beauty, future of food. And then we're launching other different types. So there'll be like a direct consumer, there'll be future of cannabis. So there'll be these different, but it's all consumer products. And then the retailers and the media and the influencers, investors, and then early adopter consumers will walk the show floor and discover all of them. So we launched innovations from like around 150 brands at our last show, and everything from a cordless hair dryer called Volo, which was so fun. It's the first ever of its kind, professional grade cordless hair dryer. We had vegan eggs. It's a Y Combinator company called Spiro, and they're just amazing. And even they have like nut cheeses, and they have a whole awesome system that they're doing.
Speaking of vegan, do you follow a plant-based diet given your training in racing?
It's an interesting thing. So one of my friends is the founder of Vega.
Right, Brendan.
And he's amazing.
Which I love Vega so
much.
He's amazing.
And he has such a mission for the world and a mission just for everything, and especially being plant-based. So he invited me to the CEO conference last October. And it was all wellness CEOs. And then we all sit in a circle and everybody's vegan except for like me and some other person. And they're like, we've been vegan for 12 years. This is amazing. And I didn't understand. I didn't know what the benefits of being vegan. And some of them were actually like Olympic athletes. One guy, he did this amazing documentary on professional athletes or endurance athletes and them going vegan and how it improved their performance. So when I started doing marathons, I'm like, I'm going to just go vegan and see how this changes my recovery, because the science behind it is that protein takes a lot of energy and is really hard on your body in terms of digestion. Yeah. So basically, you'll recover faster if you don't have, you know, meat products and...
You still need protein, but you don't need to get it from animals.
Are you vegan?
I'm not vegan. I'm plant-based. Mm-hmm. I try to be.
Me too.
You know, my experience was I really feel bad for the animals. This is where it comes from for me. I honestly, like, I love my dogs. I love animals. Mm-hmm. And I feel horrible that this is what we do. And then I get that visual.
Yep.
And I can't eat. And then I'm starving because I don't know what to eat. Although I eat a ton of quinoa and I eat a lot of beans and legumes and oatmeal, and I get protein from other sources, but there's something psychological that I can't say I can't. It's just like I haven't gotten there yet, but it's part of my goal in life is to eventually just be plant-based.
I agree.
Unfortunately, I lost too much weight and I also was very hungry and I started performing slower. So I'm sure I did it wrong, and I'm sure there's someone out there, like a nutritionist, that can help me. But I do when I can, and I can make that decision, and I don't feel like I'm in a corner, like if I'm racing or something, I try to eat plant-based.
It's so interesting, especially when you go plant-based and then you try to do it later. Because I was super, super unaware. I was basically a protein, like meat and vegetable, probably not so many carbs, definitely some sugar, obviously. But I think everything, like back to what you eat and you know, exercise, everything's energy.
Right.
So when I went vegan and then when I don't, and I just think that my energy in terms of just even my spiritual energy is, it's a different thing. I'm on a different level when I'm fully vegan.
Right.
I think when you eat meat, I think there's something that takes your energy away a little bit.
Yeah.
And I also think about the animals. It's now after going for so long, it's hard for me to go back and eat the chicken or
yeah, it's hard to go back.
But
right?
I want balance. Like to me, I don't want to. That's why I say plant based, because I don't want to be sitting there like, okay, if I'm in something and I want to try something new.
I don't have any bars right now that I like. I can't do RX bars. I love them, but I can't eat eggs. So
what bars? There's no bars on the market.
No, there's just nothing out there that is edible. There is one vegan plant-based protein bar that I got at Whole Foods, and the other bars are like chocolate bars. So, you know, like you're on your bike, it's hot. You have to like eat the food while you're like out on a run. Like you cannot.
So training food's a very interesting thing. I would love to hear what you actually pack when you do triathlons, my training food, I've been experimenting. So, because, you know, and I think it's also a psychological thing. It's like, how much stuff can I bring and what's like the magic?
You need to be a triathlete.
What's the magic like feather in my cap that's going to help me get through this distance at the end? So the blocks, do you ever do those?
Yes, Cliff Bar.
What do you think about those? I think they're so chemically, but I also
use
them.
Gels.
Yeah.
I love Clif Bar gels, raspberry and vanilla. Those are my two favorite.
With caffeine
I never get bored.
Without?
No caffeine. The Vega bars worked for me. Like, I usually eat a bar like on the bike when I'm doing a triathlon. Running, I just do gels. I have done the Clif shots and I always take salt tablets with me.
Yep.
That's
huge.
A game changer.
I know.
And you don't even, you just, every 45 minutes you have to take one if depending on the temperature, but it's like a major game changer for.
When I don't, and you don't even realize, but the salt tablets are so, so huge because when you get the muscle cramps.
It's, you can't go back. No. It's, you've got to be ahead of the game with the salt.
I like the 45 minutes. I actually only have done, I never did them in 45 minute increments. I only do it like one time when I'm running. So.
Oh yeah, no, it's because you're, well, because you probably don't, because I'm out racing, sadly, for
eight
like
or, eight
five,
or nine
6 hours.
Yeah.
Hope in my dreams, 5 hours.
Amazing.
7 hours these days, because since I started the podcast. My training has been super slow going. Okay, I can talk about exercise and training forever, but back to business and Founder Made. How many events are you doing a year?
So we do two events a year, Consumer Discovery Show East and Consumer Discovery Show West. The next one is June 26th in New York, and then we're doing one in October on October 16th, 2019 in Santa Monica. We're going to be launching like a membership, so we'll be doing smaller events, but the two main big Consumer Discovery Shows are East and West, June and October.
Did you find
New York
it was more efficient to do two bigger shows as opposed to several smaller shows?
It's efficient for all the buyer to get, make sure that all the buyers, all the brands, and it just compounds with the magic that happens when you get all the CEOs. And for us, we really want to tell the product launch story on each coast. So being able to do that in an efficient way is really great.
What were some of the big wellness trends that you saw, like the wellness brands at?
I mean, CBD is alive and well, just in case anybody doesn't know. CBD.
Yeah. Anybody that's living under a rock doesn't know about CBD.
Like, really, it's a very, I mean, we had a lot of exhibitors doing that and such creative ones. Then, I mean, in terms of wellness trends, the alcohol ciders that are coming out, which is like the kombucha.
I love kombucha.
So there was one that was out and I need to get the name of it. It was an amazing brand. And I had no idea that it had alcohol in it. It had 6% alcohol in it.
So were you drinking it all day?
They were serving it. I think my dad probably was like 10 sheets to the wind. You know, he started at 11 a.m. And I didn't have it till the end of the thing. But I was, all of a sudden I was like, oh, this doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like regular kombucha.
Is it called kombucha?
No, we had that one.
Yes.
We love that brand.
Yeah, because that has alcohol in it.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of different ones. So those are some interesting things.
So kombucha.
Yep.
So what about kelp? Have you seen anything in the world of kelp? Have you had a lot of brands?
We had kelp jerky. We've worked with some companies like that. We've had the mushroom jerkies.
Right.
What other trends? We have the lotus seed pops.
Okay.
The lily puffs, those seed puffs, those are amazing. There's actually Asha Pops.
Oh, really?
Which is my last name. And they were amazing. They were at our last show. They have a really great product. There's obviously the vegan cheeses. There's a whole...
Did you have a lot of vegan cheeses?
We had some great ones. So Spiro was one. That was the one that also did the vegan eggs. They're a Y Combinator company. Really beautiful branding. You name it. It's just, there's so much discovery happening in the consumer sector.
Yeah.
And I love that people now, like you, I look at like even these bars, right?
Right.
You can add so many different healthy benefits to these bars that you would never have thought of.
Yeah.
It's like collagen plus.
What do you think
blah,
about
blah,
collagen?
Blah,
ingestible, I mean, collagen.
As Founder Made, it's funny because we used to have some brand curators that would come in and they would be judging our brands. And I'm like, no, we're not there to judge. We're actually just there to help people build. To me, like, I think it's a great trend. I think it's probably a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's... I'm not the clinical studies. I just know that it's resonating with a lot of customers right now.
So did you have a lot of brands that were doing that?
Yep, definitely. Yeah. We've worked with Vital Proteins. I mean, there's a bunch of different ones that are doing the collagen. A lot of hair innovation is happening.
Oh, yeah. So what's happening in the world of hair
Nutrafol
innovation?
Nutrafol is scaling like crazy. They're amazing. So if you haven't, and it's funny because I've had this hairdresser that I've known since I moved to the city, so a very long time ago, and he did Sarah Jessica Parker's hair, and all of a sudden, and he used to tell me, take this one pill for your hair, and it was like an old school, it's called Visical.
Right.
Recently, he's like, Nutrafol. Oh my God, this is the product. And I was laughing. I'm like, that he spoke at our conference. I'm supposed to take the, everybody loves that product. It's, and they've scaled, like they have about 120 people working for them now. It's just really backed by science. It's just a really great product. There's also a product line that launched at our summit called Aquas. And Aquas used to have a hair towel. And then they basically did all these scientific studies about how water damages your hair. and they came up with a whole hair system. The whole product line of Aquas is basically to protect your hair from water. It's a four-step system. The first step is you spray in like a it feels like a leave-in conditioner, but it's like a protectant for the water. Then you shower as normal. You wash your hair, but you only wash it with this, like for the last 3 minutes. It's like water. Don't touch it. And it feels like shampoo, but it's not. It's a non-shampoo type of thing. And then you use the towel to dry your hair, and then you put another spray in, and your hair feels amazing. It feels like baby hair. It's crazy.
You have so many terrific brands at your events. What kind of retailers come to your event?
That's a great question. Well, we had at our last show, we had everyone from CVS, Whole Foods. We had Walmart, Amazon, Neiman Marcus. We had Violet Grey. We had Credo. I mean, you name it. And I love getting these emails where the brands are like, we just got 1,000 doors or a couple thousand doors in CVS. So we're really driving now the outcomes of commerce, which was the dream for the shows. For us, I'm like, okay, how do we drive commerce at the show? How do people get POs? How do we do that? That's the real dream. It's very hard. I mean, it's very hard.
Right. Well, that's the trade show component, right? I mean, that's like the traditional trade show model. Like you want buyers to place orders.
But they don't do that in food or in beauty and food, because there's distributors, because there's lead times, because they have these buying categories and they have the time frames that they actually can buy for things. It takes probably 4 or 5 different meetings or touch points to get distribution.
Wow.
Or you have to go through a distributor. I mean, it's such an interesting business that is, I think it will be exciting to disrupt and make a little bit more efficient.
Is that what you're able to do with Founder Made?
That's the goal.
So in addition to retailers and buyers, your conference also attracts small business owners and entrepreneurs.
We have our entrepreneur tickets. So it's like the early adopter.
How much does it cost to come to your events to buy tickets?
So our last show, it was $500 and $700 ticket. And then you get a gift bag that's worth like $1,000. There's like $1,000 worth of product in it.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's from all the partners mm-hmm. and brands at the event. And then is that something that you're standardizing in terms of pricing? Because I know it's kind of
It's such an interesting...
Evolved.
Yeah, it's evolved. I mean, we started off as like $150 event, you know, now we're in the B2B space. There's different things that we're testing out.
Right.
Pricing is always, for any business, is always an interesting thing to test out. And we're still a 2-year-old business.
So. I was going
to
say, how many years have you been?
Yeah.
Like officially 2 years?
Officially, yeah, probably around two years.
Yeah. So I feel
and our first consumer discovery show was last year in November. So we haven't
Feels like it was longer.
I know, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Literally November 17th, 18th
you've been
last year.
Like crushing it, moving forward.
I know we've been running a
running
lot.
Fast.
There's been a lot of running,
yeah.
A lot of learning.
What are some key learnings that maybe you could share that would be beneficial to another entrepreneur that's listening to the podcast that you haven't already said?
So key learnings for the new entrepreneur. Number one is that no idea is too small. And a lot of these new entrepreneurs, they say, oh, I have this small idea. And I always say, be careful. Number one, be careful what you say, because the way that you say it is what you actually end up manifesting. And everything, if you look around here, every single thing started with an idea. Every building that was built, so there is no small ideas. And honor that, whether it's the universe or whatever you believe in, gave you that idea. And you can take it and you can run with it, or you can let it go. But if you do take it and run with it, don't be hard on yourself, because part of the journey is really just earning the right at each step.
That's such awesome advice. What's your ultimate mission with Founder Made?
My ultimate mission is genuinely wanting to help others build, whether it's my team building themselves into their best leadership and what they want or the businesses, discovering the businesses and helping people build.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
I just adore you. And you know, I'm just so happy that you've been on this journey with us. It's been incredible. And I'm like, look at this. And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm so proud of like this whole podcast. This has been such a blast.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Head over to our website, marnieonthemove.com, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, and more. Also, sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down to the bottom of the site, to the bottom of the website, and hit sign up, because we are gearing up for some really big, exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in.